Hello and welcome to this special edition of The Buck Stops Here once again from Chennai. We are in the beautiful Sacred Heart Church Park School because this is where Jayalalitha spent some of her key formative years as a student. Her images, the memories of her time here are writ on the walls. Starting from this image, this is Jayalalitha just graduating from the school in the 11th standard, winning the title for the best student. Here's another picture of her at an even younger age, along with the other students. And this is her visiting her alma mater on sports day to give away prizes. Remember, Jayalalitha always said that she was a reluctant film actress and a reluctant politician because she was this outstanding student. And perhaps if fate had taken a different turn, she may have followed an entirely different path. In fact, the school has been happy to show us this shield, which has the embossings of all the toppers, all the ones who won the shield for being at the very top. And you can't quite see the inscription, but if you look at the one which is just from bottom, the first one to the left, it actually mentions Jayalalitha, and it also has the year embossed on it. And it's a reminder of the remarkable trajectory of a remarkable politician, who of course now is gone. And what follows next is the big question. Will that legacy be protected, or are there already questions being raised about whether there will be controversies, whether there will be some sort of now proxy war within the ADMK as different factions tussle for the control of the party? That's what we're going to be debating tonight. As you can see, we have with us a wonderful panel here, next to me, as well as we have some members of the audience who represent a wide cross-section of Chennai. Now, the question that has surfaced since the time of Jayalalitha's unfortunate death has been, who really is in charge of the ADMK and who has been calling the shots, and how was this fairly dramatic transition of power affected? It all happened very, very quickly, literally in the matter of 24 to 48 hours since the time when she had that cardiac arrest to the time when a late night swearing-in took place in Raj Bhavan. It was almost close to about midnight when the new cabinet, the new chief minister was sworn in, and just around the time her death was being formally announced. It was fairly unprecedented in the history of Indian politics for something like that to occur. And while in the aftermath, the immediate aftermath, it was praised for being conducted with such smoothness and the funeral that went off without any violence, questions are also being asked now as more information comes out as to whether due process was indeed followed. Were the norms of democracy fulfilled, or were they sabotaged inside a hospital coup? NDTV actually has some exclusive details of that. But before we break them, just to put it in context, those questions have surfaced because immediately in the aftermath of Jayalalitha's illness and then subsequently her passing away and then at her funeral, the family or those who seemed most prominent and most active were the members of the Sashikala Natarajan family. Now, until that time, they had taken the back seat. They were always seen as being behind the scenes and operating a sort of kitchen cabinet. But now they seem to take center stage. In fact, we're putting those images up on the screen, and you can see different members of her family, Sashikala herself, as well as her nieces and nephews and brothers and so on, several of whom had actually been banned from entering Post Garden because of fears that they were using Jayalalitha's influence to try and peddle their own influence and also financially enrich themselves. But now they were all back, and they were the ones receiving the VIPs, they were the ones who seemed to be in charge. And therefore this question as to who is the real power center in the AIADMK. Now, we spoke to a cabinet minister in the party, as well as another top source in the party, to confirm exactly what went on that night and whether or not that followed, as we said, the due norms. And this is what we learned. Let's start putting up those graphics on the screen about whether there was a midnight coup in Apollo and whether top ministers and MLAs were kept in the dark about the transfer of power. Now, what we learned is that after the cardiac arrest on Sunday evening, the ministers and MLAs were asked to come to Chennai and rush to Apollo. At about 10:40 p.m. on Sunday night, they were told that Jayalalitha was only going to undergo a minor procedure. This included the gentleman who's now the chief minister himself, Mr. O. Paneerselvam. But that procedure actually went on till 4 a.m. And then they were told she's being taken back to the ICU. No explanation was given to them why a minor procedure lasted nearly 6 to 7 hours. When they tried to see her as she was being taken from one side to the next, they found that screens had been erected inside the Apollo second floor. This is where Jayalalitha has been for the past 70 days, and they couldn't actually see what was going on. This, they also said to us, was the first time that something like this happened. At 11 a.m. on Monday, they were asked to gather in the basement of Apollo for a meeting of the MLAs and the ministers. At this meeting, they were made to sign three blank pages. Now, each of these pages were an A4 sheet of paper, and it had just their names and then a blank space next to it to sign, and they all signed these sheets of paper. No explanation was given to them what these sheets of paper were about or what was the purpose of the meeting. It just simply was a set of instructions given, and they followed it. No senior party officials were present to preside over it as well. Subsequently, they were asked to remain inside the hospital. At 2 p.m., several of these ministers and MLAs went back to the second floor, and then they noticed that a very large number of Shashikala's relatives, as well as those who they associated with her, were milling around, and some of them informally began to tell these ministers and MLAs that Jayalalitha was no more. And this led to a lot of emotion, a lot of sobbing. There was confusion. They were then told to go to the party headquarters for the meeting at 6 p.m. This was actually the formally intimated meeting. Remember that many of the details we're now sharing with you were not formally confirmed to us. We'd heard that there was an informal meeting of the MLAs in the hospital, but the party denied it. The formal meeting, they told us, was at 6 p.m. at party headquarters. Now, when they actually arrived at the meeting, they found that except for the big five of the ministers, everyone else was there. So there was, of course, Mr. Paneerselvam. He was present at the. He was not present at the meeting, along with three, four other key ADMK ministers. But all the others were there. There was no explanation again as to why he wasn't there and what was taking so long. Finally, it was only at about 11:15 p.m., 5 hours later, when this big five arrived. So for about 5 to 6 hours, there was nobody present there, and no other ministers and MLAs allowed to leave. There's the suspicion now that it is during this time that important negotiations were taking place between the AIDMK's top leadership and the Shashikala family inside the hospital about what would be the next step in this transition of power. This is the suspicion that at least two gentlemen from within the party, one of them, as I said, is a minister, shared with us. Now, at this point when the ministers entered, the AIDMK party chairman, Madhusudanan, who was all present during the entire time, he was inside, he was waiting with all of them. He was simply handed a one-line statement, which he read out, which simply said that Mr. O. Paneerselvam has been appointed AIDMK party leader in the assembly. At midnight, the ministers were then asked to leave their car. They said by then this was around midnight. The ministers were asked to leave their car at the party headquarters, and buses were organized to transport them and the MLAs to Raj Bhavan. And the rest is something that we all know what happened, that they arrived there, they were stunned to find that there were all the arrangements in place for a swearing-in. The chief secretary was there, the officials from the chief minister's office were there, and then this swearing-in took place. And then at 12:40 p.m., the hospital finally issued a release saying Jayalalitha had passed away. Now remember, informally, they had been told at 2 p.m. that this had happened, but finally, it was only at 12:40 p.m. that the official release was released, which put the time of death at 11:30 p.m. So there was almost a gap of 9 hours, which remains unexplained. Why did it take so long to formalize it? Again, was it because to allow these negotiations and maneuverings to take place? These gentlemen told us, our sources, that they had no idea about the formal announcement, because remember, in the middle, some news channels had actually broken the news that she was no more, and the hospital had clarified, saying she's alive and she's still on life support. So they had no idea any of this had happened, and they only learned the formal announcement of her death when they were in Raj Bhavan, where once again they broke into tears. Now, like I said, some of this, there were glimmerings of this while we were reporting this story, but now, having spoken to these insiders, the entire picture becomes clear, and that raises, as I said, these questions about what actually went on, and whether this will ensure that Tamil Nadu actually gets a government which is representative, rather than being one which is run by a remote control. Joining me to debate that, I have a very special panel here with me in the studio, and also here at the school venue. I'm joined by Mr. N. Ram, who's a senior, of course, a journalist and part of the Hindu group. He's also an alumni of the school, I'm told. So
yes,
thank
for
you.
Some months, yes.
For some months. And joining me is Jayanthi Natarajan, who was once, of course, known prominently as a Congress leader, but she's here as an independent voice, also a school alumni.
Absolutely.
Manu Sundaram of the DMK joins me here at the venue as well. We just want to make it clear, by the way, that the school is simply a setting for this discussion and they have really no other role to play. It's just because of the history associated with it that we chose the school. Also joining us on the OB, on the VSAT, is Khushbu Sundar of the Congress. And also joining us is Mr. Narayanan of the BJP, Mylapore Narayanan, as well as Mr. Kalyani Shankar. We also hope to have an ADMK representative with us very shortly, and we will update you the moment that takes place. But first, if I can just, Mr. Ram, get you to comment on some of these details which we've just released. And I know that some of these aspects of it have been reported as well in the past, but now we have a fairly clear picture of how this entire transfer of power was affected. Is it a cause for concern?
Yes, it is certainly a cause for concern. Once all this is validated and
yes.
It becomes irrefutable,
yes.
It certainly shows that something that shouldn't have happened had happened.
Yes.
Although, as you say, we are praising or everyone is surprised by the ease of the transition, the smoothness of the transition.
Yes.
The concern it raises really is about what is about to unfold, whether this deal, as you depicted it,
yes.
involves any extra constitutional play. Now, obviously, the family being there, because you remember that Shashikala had said they are persona non grata, they suddenly overnight
yes.
became persona grata, particularly when the body was lying in state at Rajaji Hall.
I think that's what actually led to these questions being asked. But amongst the various details that we put out, and like you said, we still have to see how much further we can validate it and sort of strengthen the evidence that's there, but these are fairly reliable sources. But amongst the details that we put out, one of the things that I found most disturbing was this aspect of getting MLAs to sign on three blank
yes.
forms.
Yes.
You know, obviously, this was done to show that there was some yes. sort of legislative party meeting held which would endorse the candidature of Panneerselvam later in the evening. But what else they were signing for is unclear.
Yes, I think there have been precedents for this, and it's very unfortunate
yeah.
that in Tamil Nadu and possibly some other states, people who have no choice,
yes.
people who are enthralled
yes.
to someone else, the leaders, some fear, are asked to sign like a blank check.
Yes.
You're signing away your life, your career, in effect, unless it's proved invalid in a court of law. The governor would have required it. And once this is validated, it
yes.
would certainly, invalidate the whole process. Although he's now chief minister. But the question, the deeper question is,
yes.
what kind of role would this family play? They had no sanction from Jayalalitha. Jayalalitha made it very clear
yes.
as chief minister that Shashikala has nothing to do with this government. In fact, she told me in 2009, if my mother had been alive, she would
yes.
have looked after me. My mother is not alive, so my sister is looking after me. Of course, Shashikala was a party member,
okay.
an ordinary member, twice expelled, taken back on the condition. She apologized on the condition
not
bring any of these guys.
People then. I'll come back to all of you in just a second. But I also now have with me Dr. V. Maithreyan, AIDMK spokesperson, who's agreed to participate on the program on the condition that it's not going to be part of the debate, but it will just be simply on a one-on-one interview. Thank you so much, Dr. Maithreyan, for joining us. You know, more and more details emerging, sir, of how this entire transition was affected, and it doesn't entirely paint this process in a very good light. Like we were saying, at the first instance, it seemed like it was very smoothly affected with a great amount of efficiency and without any violence. But now it appears that there are serious question marks, including holding meetings of MLAs without clearly informing them what was going on, making them sign documents without telling them what was going on. How would you explain this, sir?
Srinivasan, please understand, we, the foot soldiers of AIDMK, we have still not come to terms with the hard reality that our Amma is no more and she has indeed passed away. In fact,
yes.
for crores of ADMK cadre, like MGR, Amma is also a living legend. And we respect her and adore her, and she lives in our heart, mind and deed. And it pains me a lot when an anchor from a channel or channels rather sitting in Mumbai or Delhi or other places You discuss this debate
yes.
impassionately, but we have passions, we have emotions. We are still in the mourning period. And to raise such, incorrigible accusations, it goes beyond our imagination. You talk of so many things. I will break one by one. You said that the MLA's meeting was held on the fifth morning in the hospital. I was there right through in the
yes.
Apollo Hospital on Sunday evening when Madam had the first cardiac arrest from practically from maybe from 8:39 till morning 6 a.m. I was there. Again, from I came home briefly to have a change and freshen up. I went back again by 10 o'clock and I was there till the end. No such meeting of MLAs to discuss about future and other things happened. That is number one. Number two, you said that about...
They said the meeting was not to discuss the future. It was just a meeting. Sir, I'm saying that there was no. The meeting was not to discuss any future agenda.
Yes.
What we were told is the meeting was simply called to get them to sign three blank sheets of paper with their signatures. And this took place in the conference room, which is in the basement of Apollo.
I'm saying, let me explain. For example, when Madam had a serious heart attack, again, you said that some minor procedure was done. In fact, probably non-medical people may talk like that. I am a medical person. I know. See, she had a cardiac arrest.
No, what I was said was this is what the leaders... Sorry, sir, just to clarify.
One is what we call... No, let me finish. Let me finish. Please allow me to talk.
This is what the ADMK, MLAs and ministers were told that it's a minor procedure.
I didn't say that. No, see...
Yes.
That is what again I'm saying. A lay person, a non-medical person may talk like that. But you know... When she had a cardiac arrest and she had the other pre-existing problems, when a sudden arrest has happened, you have to have two procedures. One is what we call as a LVAD, left ventricular assisted device. And the second thing is what we call as an ECMO machine. For that, for fixing this ECMO machine, you have to have a sternotomy. The sternum, which is the bone in front of your chest, that has to be opened. That means it's something like a mini thoracotomy. So it takes a couple of hours. You have to open that, do the procedure, and then close the sternum. So it is not a minor procedure at all, and it takes at least a few hours. So
exactly.
Whoever is alleged to have told you, is far from truth. So that takes a couple of hours. So it may take 2 hours,
no, but
3 hours.
That's the whole point. They were saying that they were misinformed.
Number one. Number three, Dr. Maitreya, they say that they were misinformed.
They were misinformed that it's a minor procedure, while in fact it wasn't.
Were they
it
misinformed?
Was a very,
you mean
very
to
major
say,
procedure.
No, no. See, for example, you see, that is again what I'm saying. You please name the person who said like that and then I will fix it. Because I was there. I was never told that it is a minor procedure. Other MLAs and MPs and our ministers were there. None of us were told that it is a minor procedure. We were very clearly told that Madam has gone into she has been wheeled into the operation theatre and she has to have a surgery and that it is going to be an ECMO machine which has to be filled. Anybody familiar with the medical practice will know what an ECMO machine is and how it has to be fixed and all those things. And then you talked, third point I want to refute, you said about the selection. See, Mr. O. Paneerselvam is a trusted aide of Madam. He has adopted. See, Madam has nominated him as the interim chief minister not once, twice. So he's being appointed for a third term as in the full-fledged capacity is a real routine formality. So that is the, to call that OPS appointment as the CM is a coup is something which I think it is blasphemous.
Can I just pin you down on the specifics of some of the information that we have, one of which as I'm asking you is that are you denying the fact that a meeting took place at 11 a.m. at the basement of Apollo where MLAs and ministers were made to sign blank sheets of paper?
I deny it.
Three blank sheets of paper.
I deny it.
You deny that. Okay, could you then also explain to us, sir, why is it that a meeting...
Yes.
Okay, fine, sir, you deny it. Can I ask you, why is it then that a meeting
of MLAs was called at 6 p.m.
And it went on, and they kept there virtually without any communication from outside till 11:30 at night.
I'll tell you. 4:30.
What was the reason for that delay?
The 4:30, four doctors from Ames came. They did the last minute efforts. And more or less at that point of time, it looked that we are fighting a losing game. So in that situation, Normally, as a, you see, ADMK is a party of abundant precautions. So they had called for a formal meeting of the MLAs in the party office. So, but then 5:30, 5:45, madam was still on the support, life support, and obviously, before a vacancy arises, you cannot hold a meeting. Obviously, you understand that. So, unless the eventuality happens and then the announcement is made officially by the hospital, you can't have a meeting. So, when they having gone there for a meeting, they stayed back there. Once the announcement was made, they formally met there, unanimously ratified that O. Paneerselvam, who was twice Madam's nominee, he was repeated for a third term. So, I don't think there is anything really
dramatic. When you say unanimously ratified,
and it really pains
when you say unanimously ratified, what we heard,
baseless allegations on some hearsays.
No, no, sir, these aren't, this is not baseless allegations. Trust me, we are,
see, if you
we
say
are a news
somebody
channel
else,
with some
if
credibility,
you say somebody else
which is why
was,
you're talking to us. We're saying this with all seriousness. And when you say that it was done with due consultation, what we were told is that the seniors arrived at about 11:30 at night and simply handed the president of the party a resolution to read out. The MLAs had no idea till then what this was about. They were virtually there hostage for 5 hours.
See, that is what again I'm saying. You know, you probably you people do not know the system of AIADMK. Our party runs on loyalty. Our party runs on true obedience and discipline. And obviously, when OPS is going to be the CM nominee, I don't think there
Sir,
is going to be any discussion or all
procedure.
Sorts of things. Simply, I mean, it is announced because twice, see, he is not a non-entity. He was nominated twice by Madam herself as an interim chief minister. So, automatically, it's a formality they had completed after the announcement of the sad demise of Amma. So, that,
so
normally,
you deny,
when
so
such
you basically
an announcement
deny
is made, it doesn't take
all
a hell of a time to discuss.
Okay, so you deny everything then?
That
you're denying
the
fact that
the
these
coup
black
you are
sheets
mentioning,
were
nothing like that.
You're denying the fact that some of them were informed at 2 p.m.
No, as
that,
I say,
Ms. Jayalalitha was
say,
no more.
No, no. As
and then you're denying the fact
say,
that the MLAs
see,
were waiting there while these power, see, while these negotiations were going on.
No, I'm not denying that the MLAs were waiting. As I said, 6 o'clock or 7, 6:37, they would have gone to the party office. But they had they stayed back there when the till the announcement was made. After the announcement was made, this decision was announced. See, another thing, as I said, if you talk about some other nominee being appointed, then all these things can think. Then OPS means I don't think there is really any question. Because twice he was nominated
Sir,
by Madam
herself,
trusted and aid of Madam.
Doesn't it strike you as odd, sir,
as
that
what?
In just a matter of these few hours, everything was so well organized that they go to the party office, when they from there there are buses to take them to Raj Bhavan. From Raj Bhavan, everyone is waiting for the swearing-in. The swearing-in takes place at the middle of the night.
That is the sequence.
I put it to you.
As I said, that is... you are talking about middle of the night.
What was the,
when
what
Mrs.
Was
Indira
the
Gandhi
need to
was
do
assassinated,
it? No, I'm saying, what was the
how
need?
Did Rajiv Gandhi swear in?
Yes.
No, that's what again I'm saying. When Mrs. Gandhi was assassinated, Rajiv Gandhi, he flew from Bhubaneswar or some other place, and he as soon as he landed in Delhi airport, he went straight, and he was sworn in there. So, I don't think these are all any valid arguments.
Okay, can I just ask you, sir, looking forward now, these concerns about who is the real power center in the ADMK, the post of the General Secretary is still vacant. Mr. Paneerselvam has been sworn in as Chief Minister. Who will occupy that post, and is there any basis to the concern that it could be occupied by Ms. Shashikala?
See, I will tell you one thing. AIADMK was founded in 1972. From 72 to 1987, for 15 years, the late MGR was the General Secretary of the party. From 87 onwards till 2016,
Sir.
December, for nearly 29 years, Madam had been the General Secretary of the party. So, anybody who will succeed will be a worthy successor for these two great charismatic leaders, number one. Number two, as for as I said,
do you think that someone
moment.
Like Ms. Shashikala
after
fits those qualifications?
There is a due process, and then, as you say, party has got definite bylaws, rules, and regulations, and we go by the bylaws, rules, and regulations. So the next is General Secretary, whoever it may be, whether he or she, will be elected and with the approval of the General Council, which is the ultimate policy-making body of the party.
Last question to you, Dr. Maithreyan, because you've been kind enough to stay so long with us on a fairly controversial news break, is that given the fact that, as Mr. Ram also pointed out, there was a time when Shashikala had been told clearly to disassociate herself from her family members because of the fact that they were using their proximity to Jayalalitha for undue influence, how would you explain the fact that they were all back and they were very much part of these entire last rites?
See, in a family, there will be fights, feuds. Like, for example, as you yourself have said, in 2011, madam had taken some decisions and steps. Subsequently, she reverted on certain things. But Shashikala had been the Mrs. Shashikala, or Chinnamma, as we call her. She is the backbone of Poyas Garden. She has lived with Amma for nearly 32 years. And so, and I will also say one thing. People are pointing fingers at her. I will say one thing very clearly.
Yes.
In 1996, after ADMK lost power and false cases were foisted against the party seniors, including our Amma, at that time, Madam was arrested in December 1996. Before that, Mrs. Shashikala was arrested. I mean, it is being alleged because I was not in ADMK at that time, so I cannot vouch for it, but it is generally alleged that at that point of time, the then DMK government pressurized Chinnamma to turn approver and say that everything was done by Amma only and that they will clear her of the all problems. She withstood that pressure. So for a person of that caliber...
No, my question was different.
Now to say
my
who
question
that will all
my
the...
question was not questioning her presence. My question, I was not questioning her presence as much as asking the presence of members of the family whom she had herself written a letter saying she will distance herself from, but they were all very much present during this very, very crucial moment with so many of the, you know, VIPs, all of them coming. They were the ones receiving her. So then isn't that a breach of faith?
A person, I'll say, a lady who has stayed with Amma for 32 years, suddenly when she is left without her, in her moment of crisis and the mental agony and torture, probably she would have needed her family members to be with her. So, I don't think we should think too much about these things. See, that was a scenario yesterday that is over. Now, today the world starts on a different note.
All right, Dr. Maithreyan, you're entitled to say the world starts on a different note. Some are worried what that note exactly is going to be and what are its implications for Tamil Nadu. I wish you could be part of our panel discussion, but we had an agreement would you like to be part of our panel discussion?
No, any note.
Would you like to stay on for the panel discussion?
No, I have something else. I have something else also. I will be, unfortunately, I will be going away from this. But anyhow, any decision, any note taken in the next weeks or months, it will be a good one. And because of that decision, the party will definitely grow from strength to strength. AADMK was the number one party in the state, is the number one party in the state, and will continue to be the number one party in the state.
And will remain. All right. Thank you, Dr. Maithreyan, so much for joining us. Thanks very much indeed. So the ADMK spokesperson, they're putting up a spirited defense of NDTV's newsbreak, which suggested that there were some very questionable moves that took place in those 12 hours inside the Apollo Hospital. Let me finally get a chance to turn to our other panelists. Sorry so much for keeping you waiting, but that was the condition on which he had agreed to come. Jayanthi Natarajan, were you concerned about some of these details as they emerged, and were you convinced by Dr. Maithreyan's defense?
Let me first say, Srinivasan, that I've worked with you and with NDTV for many years, and I have utmost respect for your sources, for your journalism, and I appreciate the kind of news breaks and the journalism that you carry forward and your commitment to veracity of your reports. Having said that, I want to point out a couple of things that concern me at another level.
Okay.
If what you say happened, certainly it's a matter for concern.
Yes.
My concern, however, is that this is a state where a smooth transition has happened. After a calamitous event, the death of a beloved, very tall leader of the state and of the country. And whatever happened, Mr. Paneerselvam has been sworn in as the Chief Minister, which could not have been done unless the constitutional authority of the Governor of Tamil Nadu was satisfied that everything had been done. And therefore, we are now placing a question mark over whether this judgment was right. I would not be able to do that as easily.
Janki, let me just interrupt to say that we know this from history, that not every time you have a transition of power, just because the governor has endorsed it, it necessarily makes it okay.
No, but then
correct? Because either the governor may not have enough information, or in some cases, the Congress itself has alleged, whether it's the Congress or the BJP have alleged complicity as well.
Srinivasan, I would not ever be able to impute motives to a constitutional authority. It would be impossible for me to do that. I don't think
I'm not imputing motives. I'm saying simply it may be a lack of information.
That too. I think this is a governor who is holding additional charge and is governor of Maharashtra,
right,
has been a very hands-on governor. The moment the chief minister fell ill, the late chief minister,
right,
he rushed down from Bombay, and therefore, I want to point out two things.
Okay.
I want to point out that A, you are casting a question over a constitutional process, and this over a much larger process than just the internal working of the AIADMK.
Actually, we're not casting it as much as people who were very much privy to it and who witnessed it wanted to share it with us.
No, which brings me
for a party like the ADMK, let me add to say, is a huge deal, as you know.
Which brings me to my second point.
Yes.
Which is, many people, my panelists and many friends here were smiling when Mr. Maitreyan said, name the person.
Right.
I know you can't name the person, but the fact of the matter is, unless people stand up and are counted,
yes,
at a time when a transition is taking place and many conflicting interests, ambitions, desires are at play, many things are likely to be said. But unless people come out, because these are very, very serious matters of state. Let me finish. Just one sentence. Yeah. These are matters of state.
Yeah.
And unless they are proved beyond reasonable doubt and publicly by people who are willing to stand up and be counted,
yes,
I would be very careful before making assumptions.
All right, which is why we check not with one, but with two sources. So we do try to be careful. Manu Sundaram, were you convinced by the fact that this was, in fact, a completely smooth transition of power and all the norms were followed? Or do you think that there was something about it, quite regardless of the details which they put out, that the speed in which it was done, the secrecy in which it was done, does raise questions about the future? Because that's what we're concerned about. We're not concerned about pointing fingers and trying to question the Jayalalitha legacy. In fact, the aim is different, that legacy should be protected and should carry on.
This is not a question about Jayalalitha's legacy at all. In fact, I think there is enough prima facie material that you've put out. Now, is the action of a constitutional authority, be it the governor or the president, is it actually judicially reviewable? Yes, we've seen what's happened in the Arunachal case very recently. The entire actions of the governor were called into question, and the court actually has
So that's not
the question here. In fact, what we can look at is the process, and like you rightly said, we do not need to care about the who or the why was elected. That's their parliamentary prerogative.
Yes.
But what we can be concerned about is the how of it, which is the process. Was due process followed? Were people signing the letters of endorsement of the legislative party leader,
yes,
without fear or favor? Or were they coerced? Now, these are questions that can be examined in a court of law. And finally, the question of when. See, Mr. Dr. Maitreyan was pointing out an incident when the late Srimati Indira Gandhi was assassinated.
Yes.
That was seen as a moment of great terror. An act of terror had killed her. And there was a certain different circumstance.
There was an urgency there.
In our own state of Tamil Nadu, in 69 when the late Anna died, and in 87 when the late MGR died,
yes,
there were two instances where Navalar Nedunjalian was made the interim chief minister,
yes,
and after the period of condolence was over, the party got back together, the legislature party, and using their prerogative and their wisdom, they
and
elected
then they
a
actually
leader.
Made the transition.
So why was this case different? That is up for the MLAs to explain.
Okay.
And I think you've put out enough information for
those
cases
to
explode.
Okay, let me go to now some of our other panelists quickly before we actually get the chance for the audience to speak. I'm also joined by Khushbu, who joins us from the Congress. Thanks, Khushbu, for listening in patiently. Are you concerned about the fact that while we do have Mr. Paneerselvam in charge and he's been appointed as chief minister, that will this be a fairly smooth process, or Is there a concern now that with the absence of Jayalalitha as the sole authority in the ADMK, that there could be multiple power centers, and that may not be healthy for the state?
I do not doubt the capacity of the CM, recently appointed CM, OPS, but then definitely I have my own doubts about how the party is going to run. It was a single-handed power which was running the party, and she's no more, unfortunately. What is the biggest concern is the people around the entire process at Rajaji Nagar and the funeral. You know, people who had been barred from entering Poise Garden for 30 years, they were present, and they were present right in the front. People who were completely disconnected from the from AIDMK and from the family and from Poise Garden, they were present and they were making their presence felt. Now, this are the certain things which, you know, causes a concern, because till the late CM was alive, till Madam Jayalalitha was alive, this was not done. This couldn't happen. This wouldn't happen, and nobody dared to do it. They were following the norms. They were following the rules that were laid down by the woman who was running the party and Poise Garden with an iron hand. Now, that is what is a matter of concern. People right there in the front. Now, whether they were made to sign those three documents, the blank documents, all this will come later, because then, of course, there will be denials. Now, when listening to Dr. Maitreya and what he spoke, with all due respect, he was very careful when he said, when we spoke about the general secretary taking over, who will be in the place of madam. Now, he very clearly stated it could be he or she. He didn't say it's he, because when you look at she, there's no other second rung leaders, she, who can take over as a general secretary. So now, you know, those things, if you want to read in between the lines, now these are the things which can be of concern, and it should be of concern. Right now, yes, the party is mourning, the entire state is mourning. We also share the grief of our late CM not being there with us anymore. We all have admiration and respect for her. But then a party like AIDMK definitely needs a strong hand to take it forward.
Let me just go to the audience quickly before I come to our other guests, Mylapur Narayanan and Kalyani Shankar. What do you make of this transition of power? I mean, I think one of the best things about it is that it went off smoothly, because we heard so much about the violence and the unrest that followed the death of MGR. But by this contrast, this was much more effective. But now when you see these questions about multiple centers of power, is that a matter of concern for you? Who would like to speak? Yes, sir, you in the red shirt.
Yes, it's a matter of concern, of course. First thing I would like to explain is given the art of giving.
Right.
See, it's an image or an identity for every citizen, right, who can observe what is called as art of giving. So that has been done here already. And we have to understand why she need to give and what is the future of politics right now in Tamil Nadu right now. So this thing has to be understood by the next CM,
right,
whomsoever is concerned. Let it be from any parties. That's not an issue from here. It's just a four years of matter. We can change it by our single finger. That is easy to do. And if there is a fault present in that, definitely we will change it from the next year. So, but that party has to definitely need to understand what Jayalalitha has done for the people who is not having anything. So why she has given those things to those people, and understand what is the art of giving,
okay,
and then the next one. So this is how the future politics needs to move on. So that's
okay.
My point.
Okay. Anyone else would like to speak, yes, about the concern about multiple power centers?
Yes, can we have the lady at the back here?
Firstly, I think the fact that she is no more is,
yes,
is yet to be, we are yet to sink in the fact that she is no more.
Yes.
So, and the next thing is looking at the next chief minister of Tamil Nadu.
Yes.
Frankly speaking, me personally, I just don't care who is the next party secretary or whoever it is. Because for us, the lady who stood with the people, the lady who had such a charismatic image,
yes,
the lady who was like a backbone of the state, is just no more. For me, it is a personally a big thing right now. I am not in a mood to care about who's the next party secretary. But of course, I do care about who's the qualities of the next chief minister of the state. But I just hope that this is a temporary phase where we have got someone who doesn't have a great image among the public. But I sincerely hope that Mr. Paneerselvam will rise to match the expectations of the public, at least after her demise.
Fine.
Or at least we'll have someone new cropping up in the party inside,
right,
who will, you know, rise to such a level, at least try to, you know, match such levels.
Sir, in the blue shirt, if I can ask you that, while of course it's important that the Chief Minister carries forward with the agenda Jayalalitha set, which you said you admire, but if you have another authority that comes in, let's say Shashikala becomes General Secretary and then starts to dictate the agenda of the state, would that be a matter of concern for you? Or would you be okay with it? Because as some ADMK supporters told us, they said Chinnamma is the kind of the protector of Jayalalitha for all these years. So what's the harm if she takes on a more formal role?
Mandate given by Tamil Nadu people is for Jayalalitha,
yes,
not for anyone. The mandate is very clear. She is the single lady who run the party. And the mandate of the people and the women who aspired in the state for the development of the state, give her the chance for the consecutive term. Now it is for then. Yes, now she is no more. Her no more is itself is a suspicious thing, because the 70 days gap where she was kept in the hospital, where the matter gone till the High Court, there is no reply or any report by the state government till the end. Till the end, when
you're saying there was something doubtful, or there were some questions about the manner
about
in which that entire period in the hospital was handled.
This transaction happened.
Yes.
I would like to strongly object to
come
that
in quickly. Yeah.
Because I think the team of doctors, I followed this very closely. They did their very best. At most, you can fault the information that the party and the government put out initially. But I think later on, the bulletins came from the doctors. They protected the patient's right to privacy. At the same time, maybe we could have been given more, and there were misleading information from the past.
Right.
But as for the treatment, I think it was world class. There's nothing more that could have been done. She was improving.
Okay.
You know, one minute.
Right.
She was improving.
I think
they're
not. I don't think the problem was with the hospital. I don't think the problem was with the hospital. The problem was with the government's information flow.
Information report from the government. Because
okay.
The government
let me just quickly
is not
get,
clarified.
Let me just. Okay, we'll come back to you in just a second. Let me quickly get Mr. Mylapore Narayanan of the BJP. If I can just ask you, sir, I know that the BJP leadership was in full force at the funeral and they were extremely supportive of the transition of power. We had that very powerful image of Mr. Modi personally hugging Mr. Paneerselvam as he was grieving. But, you know, as more details of this nature come out and as one sees another proxy force over whose conduct there have been some questions start to play a more central role, would that also be a matter of concern for the BJP and indeed for the centre?
No. In this discussion, I strongly deny something from Tamil Nadu that whatever happened has been happening legally and with a strong commitment towards this state's prosperity. Number one is that said that a lot of documents you are holding for which definitely without any authentic evidence or documents. I think commenting on those things are not good. It is not fair also. And at this juncture, just not even 24 hours or 48 hours have passed. So this is not the right time to discuss about all those things. But as far as BJP is concerned, we have been very friendly with this government for the last 2.5 years. We have been friendly with the AIADMK and the relationship of state and central are very good. And we have been seeing that our Prime Minister, Mr. Narendra Modi, and the ex-Chief Minister Jayalalitha were really friends for more than a decade. And as seen already, our Minister from Tamil Nadu, Mr. Pon Radhakrishnan, and also Mr. Venkaiah Naidu, were very friendly with the government. So it is our duty to see to it that the entire process goes off very smoothly. At this juncture, I thank one and all, BJP thanks one and all in Tamil Nadu to have a very smooth transition without any violence or any disturbance in Tamil Nadu. In fact, that is a very great thing.
Okay,
and I think this is one of the smoothest transitions.
I mean, I mean, it's with that whole purpose, because as one of the pillars of democracy, it's our job to ensure that if there is something which is untoward or if there are questions raised, we should raise them. Timing is not the essence here. In fact, timing, some would say, is of the essence. Kalyani Shankar, quick word in from you as we run out of time. That were you also taken aback when you saw the speed at which it was done, and then you suddenly saw the kind of manner in which the Shashikala family, which had been in the wilderness, suddenly take center stage? And does that raise questions about the future of how this government is actually going to function in Tamil Nadu?
Well, you see, there are one or two points I want to make. First is that Shashikala wants to make the party separate and the government separate. So that is the reason now they have made Paneerselvam as their chief minister, and she would like to become the secretary general of the party, which is the most powerful position. Even when MGR died and when Janaki was made the chief minister, there was no difference between the secretary general and also the prime minister, chief minister. The second point is that we don't know how far Paneerselvam will be Shashikala's man. Supposing he emerges as his own man. You see, until now there was the omnipresence of Jayalalitha. Because of that, everybody was even signing, the MLAs were signing the blank sheets, all that. Today, that is not the case. You see, and most of the people, except about 60, 66 MLAs, the others have come in only in the name of Jayalalitha. So they don't owe any loyalty to anybody. So you don't know what they will do. So that is a second question. And the third question is, unless they try to fill up the post of the Secretary General, I wonder how long this kind of dissidence and this kind of rumors and this kind of other things will come from the party.
All right.
Already the Shashikala Pushpa has been saying in Chennai that the house should be made into a museum, Jayalalitha's house, you know, all kinds of things started coming in. So unless they do it very fast, I don't see the party doing very well now.
You see there could be problems. We're absolutely out of time. I'm going to get quick one line responses from everyone on the panel, starting with you, Jayanti. Are you confident that this arrangement will hold, that the AIDMK will hold and carry through its course, or could there perhaps be some ruptures?
I think it's very important for that party to stay united.
Right.
I certainly hope that they'll be able to hold for the sake of stability in Tamil Nadu and carry forward the legacy of good governance the state has enjoyed.
Mr. Ram, you think there could be troubles ahead, or
not? I have no problems with the Mr. Paneerselvam, the chosen one, if you like, being the. But if there is a deal behind it, which has other implications, that would be deep cause, profound cause for worry.
Okay,
that's the whole issue that you raised today. I appreciate the fact that Dr. Maitreyan has
came and at least had a chance to respond.
And I also want to underline what you said, because I'm an. Even for some months, I'm an alumnus of the school.
Yes.
So, no, nothing attaches to the
not
school.
At all, not at all.
About any possible controversy that hot information you had.
All on NDTV. Khushbu, quick line, quick word from you. You think this arrangement will last, or could there be troubles ahead?
I wouldn't call it an arrangement, because yes, like Mr. Ram said, that we do not have a problem with the OPS. We have seen him working in the past. Of course, he was being extra loyal to Amma in the past, but we hope that this time he is going to take over and be seated in the chief minister's chair and take over the responsibilities single-handedly, more responsibly and individually.
Right.
That is what is very, very important, because the minute you become a chief minister, you're on the chair, you need to take decisions individually, and I just hope and pray that he is able to do
that he remains
without any
man.
Pressures from behind in the dark.
Okay,
yes.
Thanks very much indeed. Manu, if you don't mind, if I can pass on you and go to the audience for last word, or do you have... Yes, very quick point, yeah.
I think Jayalalitha's legacy itself is in question. She had opposed NEET, and she had opposed the Uniform Civil Code, she had opposed GST while she was there. Today, it seems like the ADMK government is giving up on a lot of those things, so that's the problem.
Okay, last... Yes. Well, gentlemen, very quickly, and then we'll see if we can squeeze you in as well.
As Mr. Ram rightly pointed out, Ms. Jayalalitha had not passed on the legacy to anybody, including Mr. Sikala. So I just request ADMK MLAs to act according to their conscience and give the same good governance Ms. Jayalalitha had given. So that is my request.
Okay. Sir, I think we just have 10 seconds. Go ahead.
I would say that no, passing on the legacy and all those things will continue. Smooth transition, all those things doesn't mean there is a transparency. So you have to bring about transparency in everything. That is one point. Second is going about the future prediction and all. Signs of astrology may be true. But the question of astrologer is still remaining in the world. So you can't just come out and say that Rahu it will go and last and other things. We have to wait.
We have to wait for Rahu Kalam to end before we can predict that. Thank you all very much indeed for talking to us and joining us tonight on this special broadcast. And we thank, of course, very much the school for allowing us to use their premises. We will continue to track this big story because, like I said, our concern is the future of Tamil Nadu and its people above everything else.
And the disclaimer again.
And the disclaimer which I just said. Thank you very much for watching. Good night.